Good morning, family. This morning we have a wonderful guest with us. We know Nazareth. He's been at our church several times. He's a friend of ours, and we love him. He's one of the most successful Christian comedians in the country, and he's done over 4,000 performances. He was doing comedy with some of the great, the best known comedians today. And Jesus called him beyond that to do more than make people laugh, which is a great ministry, right? It's really the ministry of healing. The Bible says laughter is good medicine, right? And it heals the bones. So we're just grateful that he's with us. But I asked him, instead of doing a Saturday night comedy night, I wanted him to come on Sunday, because not only I think you deserve to laugh a little bit, but also he has this amazing ministry he's going to share with you. And I've been really interested in it for a while. And we had some time to talk, and I said, Nazareth, you've got to tell the congregation about that. But as he comes, would you give a really warm welcome to Nazareth as he comes in today?
Thank you. Good morning. Wow. It's good to be back. This church is growing. You know, now I'm afraid it's going to get so big when you call the prayer hotline, you get a guy from India. But if you don't know me, I am from the Middle East, but ever since September 11th, I feel so Mexican. I drove here. I live in Corona, and I normally fly to my gigs, and I always miss my connection flight because I can't run through the airport anymore. Now, if you look like me, don't run anywhere. People will tackle you in the name of freedom. They do. I mean, the other day, the airport security, they were so tense, I got arrested for a photobomb. What happened? We used to be at 7-Eleven, people, remember? Where did we go wrong? We stayed up all night for you people. The Koreans went to bed at 9. We stayed up all night. We took your camel jokes, your slurpy jokes. They didn't bother us. I even have little girls make fun of me. This girl comes to me, she goes, do you know where Middle Eastern people go when they die? I'm like, where, honey? 7-Eleven. Get out of here. I mean, I don't know. If you think of the Middle East, we gave America a lot. We gave you religion. We gave you oil. We gave you convenience. Yes, 7-Elevens, gas stations, that's us. We gave you Homeland Security. Why else would you need it? What did other cultures give you? What did the French give you? The Statue of Liberty, that's it. What did the Italians give you? Pizza. What did the Chinese give you? Walmart. That's it. We did, and it's been difficult for us Middle Easterners. Like, you know, I watch the news every night. Whenever there's a shooting or something, I'm like, please, Lord, don't let it be a Middle Eastern. We don't need that, no. Hurricane, let it be Hurricane Matthew, Hurricane Bob, not Hurricane Abdul or Hurricane Ahmed. Because you have to understand, every time this happens, every time these terrorists do something bad, we cannot do these things anymore. Like, I cannot fly a plane anymore. I can't rent a truck. I can't go to a gay bar. Not that I want to, but you know what I mean? Why can't these terrorists do something I don't want to do? Like blow up a colonoscopy clinic or something. No, I can't go there. I'm suspicious. But my name is Nazareth. I was born in the city of Nazareth in Israel. Thank you. It's a family tradition to name you after the city you're born in. I feel sorry for my brother Waikiki. My other brother Albuquerque. And my sister Buffalo. Location, location, location. Like when you guys name your kids, you look at the baby name book, we look at Google Maps. Anaheim, that's a good name for a boy. But I was born in Israel. I grew up in Kuwait. I'm not Jewish. I'm not Muslim. I came from a Greek Orthodox Christian background, which means we never went to church. One time my mom took me to church, and it's a big cathedral, and the priest has a long beard, and you have to kiss his hand on the cross. Miss me up till this day, I can't watch Duck Dynasty. I'm going, Father Sai, forgive me my sins, Father Sai. But I moved here 33 years ago. I love living in California. I mean, I love California. This is the greatest nation, people. Any veterans here, raise your arm. If you're a veteran, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. You made this country so great, everybody want to move here now. And you know, being from a foreign country, living in California, every family member all over the world, they want to visit you in the summer. Every summer for the last 20-some years, they come and stay in our home for a few months. Take us to Disneyland. Take us to SeaWorld. They think I'm a free Uber or something. So you know what? For the first, I'm very happy about the travel ban. Oh, yes, I am. I would like to add 3 more countries to the ban. And if we can add Ohio, too. Thank you. Can we take an offering for the sound system? No problem. Thank you. Ran out of battery. Yes. Yeah. 17 baptisms, man. This should be the public pool for Anaheim. It had more people than the Anaheim pool. That's awesome. Praise God. Now I'm ADD. I forgot where I was. People say, think outside of the box. I can't find the box. But yeah, the travel ban. Yes. I know this is a country of immigrants. But I'm in. Let's move on. No, I loved it. My first exposure to this country was a small zoo in Cleveland. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership. But I, you know what? This is how much I love this nation, people. This is will let you know how much I love it. When I lived in Kuwait, I was the George Clooney of Kuwait. I was tall, I was handsome. And then I come here, everybody's tall and handsome. You ruined it for me, people. I feel ugly sometimes. And my Christian friends say, Nazareth, you can't say ugly. We're all created in the image of God. Yeah, but sin entered the world. And it hit some people harder than others. So next time you see one of those victims, you need to witness to them. One day, brother, you're going to have a new body in heaven. That was mean. But I love this country because we're a capitalist system. People don't understand capitalism. Let me explain capitalism. I know we're a capitalist system because we have Costco. I got my glasses at Costco. I see everything in bulk. Capitalism means from the day you're born till the day you die, someone's going to sell you something. You're born and the Huggies and the Pampers diaper will come after you. Then Fisher Price will come after you. If you're a girl, Mattel and Barbie will come after you. If you're a boy, Sony and Microsoft will come after you. Then the whole world will sell you stuff. And they can't sell you anything, they sell you insurance. Never buy insurance from a Christian insurance agency. Because to them, everything is an act of God, and they will not cover it. Then you get old, and the drug companies will come after you. Then the Huggies people will come back. It's a cycle of life. I know. If you go to Costco, go more than once a month. Because, you know, me and my wife, we go once a month, we end up with a flat bed of toilet paper and kitchen rolls and all that stuff. And we always look at each other and like, honey, look at us. We're gluttons. There's people starving in Africa. Look at us. She goes, what do you want me to do? You use most of it. Till one day, God was so gracious to us. This man from Africa walks up to us in the parking lot of Costco. And he's like, sir, can you help me? where are you from? He goes, oh, I'm from Kenya. You're from Africa? He's from Africa. Take it all. Take it all. Here's $40. Just take it all. He goes, no. I just bought a big screen TV. I want you to help me put it in my SUV. God bless America. I love this country. I love being an American, and because I came to know Jesus Christ in this country as my Lord and Savior. Yes, I used to be a comedian in Hollywood and work with these big names, Chris Rock and Adam Sandler and all these guys, and they were writing a sitcom for me, but I was empty inside and was on drugs and alcohol, and some Japanese comic invites me to church. I walk into church and God grabs a hold of my life, and boom, I gave my life to Christ. And amen. Thank you. That was it. Boom, boom, boom. That's it. I was single. Any single people in the room? Single people? Single? 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 Yes, I was single. And I made a deal with the Lord. I said, Lord, you know more girls than I do. So I'll make you a promise. No pornography, no dating, no touching a woman, no living with a woman, no lying to a woman. I'm going to wait on you. But I want a beautiful wife with a rich father that memorized the entire Bible. But let your will be done. Because I didn't know how to meet a Christian lady. What's my pickup line going to be? Oh, I agape you, you weaker vessel. You look hotter than the lake of fire. Look, you got your glorified body already. Write him down. You remind me of the verse that said, love thy neighbor. Mwah. One of them looked at me. She goes, you remind me of the verse that said, depart from me. I never knew you. So I waited. Came that evil day called Valentine Day. When you're single, that's the day where you feel terrible. Ah, I said, Lord, you know, I don't have anybody. You know what? She doesn't have to have a rich father. You'll take care of us. Beautiful. And the New Testament is fine with me. Another year, I started losing hair. It's painful on a man. I said, Lord, she doesn't have to be beautiful. Just okay. And the book of John is fine with me. Another year, I started gaining weight. And men, we get it right here. When you start erasing your phone messages without touching it. Or you can't hear it ring anymore. Pizza Hut, I didn't call you. My fat called you. While you're at it, make it a large pepperoni and hurry up. I said, Lord, John 3:16, bring her over. I'll witness to her. 1995, my father is dying at Hogue Hospital, Newport Beach. The son, when I die, would you do me a favor? I said, yes, Dad. He said, would you go to Israel for me? I said, yes. He said, would you go to the Gaza Strip for me? I said, no. You know the Hamas people, death to America, but they're wearing a Nike shirt? Separation of shirt and state. But I did. It's your dad. You know what I mean? So when he passed away, I flew into Tel Aviv. I drove to the Gaza Strip. That night, I'm having dinner with my atheist cousin from Baltimore, his fiance and her sister. And my cousin looks at me and goes, you look happy. What's wrong with you? You're in the Gaza, man. What are you? I go, you know what? Jesus changed my life. My life used to be about me, what I can accomplish, what I can get, what I can do, how much people like me. It's all about me. But God took my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh to care about others and other people's needs and all that. I used to be like an old car that keeps breaking down. Now that I'm a Christian, I'm that same old car, but I'm married to a mechanic and I have AAA. He got mad. He goes, don't listen to him, girls. He's a born-again Christian. Her sister said, me too. And I kid you not, I just look at her and she's a gorgeous woman. I said, would you like to marry me? She looks at me, she goes, I've been praying for a believer to come to this side of the world for 3 years. Let me fast and pray for 3 days. I'm going to take it serious. 3 days later, she came back, she goes, I'm starving, let's do it. 21 years. Yes. 21 years of marriage. I saw her, I asked her to marry me. 5 days later, we were engaged. A year later, we got married, and it was amazing. The wedding was different. We had 600 people at my wedding. I didn't know any of them. And at the end of the wedding, they all line up in one line. That's a culture. And give the bride jewelry, mostly gold. By the time they were done, my bride looked like Snoop Dogg. You know those rappers with the gold chains, gold watches, gold rings? I spent 3 weeks in LA after the wedding going, hey man, you know my gold watch? Hurry up, it's not stolen, I just want a toaster, okay? But I love my wife. You know, the other day, no, not the other day, a few months ago, you guys had the fire. Anybody had to evacuate because of the fire? How much time did they give you? 30 minutes? More? They gave me 30 minutes when I was in Corona. We had the fire. I got a call. You have 30 minutes to... What do you mean 30 minutes? It took me 20 years to fill up the house. You got 30 minutes. You don't mess with the fire department. So I called AAA. I said, hey, do you have a company that can come in and load the stuff and get it out of here in 30 minutes? They go, we never heard of that. I go, burgers do it all the time. I've seen it on TV. I said, well, look for stuff that's worth something and it's easy to carry. For 25 minutes, I could not find anything. I was mad at myself. This is junk. I'm a hoarder. I hate my house. I hope it burns. I don't want this stuff. And I'm looking to my wife for clues. All she had is a spice rack. Really? And she goes, what do you have? You know what I mean? I go, spice rack, I should leave it, you know? If it burns, it smells better. She goes, honey, let's start taking the pictures off the wall, you know, for the family pictures. So she started taking them. I go, what about my mom's picture? She goes, it's too heavy. My 19-year-old John, you know, my 19-year-old boy, you know, he was like those rioters from the Watts riot and the other. He just came out of the house with a big screen TV running to the car. I thought the Corona police were going to shoot at him or something. And then, you know, anybody have a 17-year-old daughter? She, you know what she went for? The phone charger. At this day, Dad, where's my phone charger? Oh, I found it. And then she started taking pictures with the furniture. Selfies. Like, what are you doing? She goes, I'm going to miss that couch. I go, what are you putting that stuff on? She goes, Snapchat. I go, why don't you put it on Craigslist? Maybe we can sell it. Then my 9-year-old, she goes, Daddy, what do you want me to do? How can I help? I'm like, you know what, honey? Just go say goodbye to the fish in the aquarium. Oh, don't. Oh, are you serious? You're going to take a fish in the aquarium? Really? 30 minutes and you're going to put a fish in the aquarium and take him out. They have the best chance of surviving. Go tell them to stay low and not inhale. So I called my insurance agent and said, hey, can you come over and tell me what I need to keep? He goes, I live 40 minutes away. 40? Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. He goes, if I were your neighbor, I'll be evacuating too. But I know I took, of course, my hard drive because now I save myself in hard drives. Well, I'm not there like some of you. See, there's young people here. We used to save our data on a floppy disk. And we were okay. Then it became a CD. Then it became a hard disk. Then it became a flash drive. And now it's in the clouds. Some people go, I'm scared. My data, people can see my data in the clouds. I want to comfort you. When Jesus rose from the dead, he went in the clouds. And Jesus saves. And one day he's coming back in the clouds. So your data is saved with Jesus in the clouds. But Jesus likes Microsoft. He doesn't like Apple. I know. I'm a Mac guy. I know. Because the Bible says in Malachi, if you tithe to the church, God's going to open the windows of heaven. Not the Macs of heaven. Because he doesn't like the logo. The apple with a bite. That's where sin entered the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can laugh. We thank you for the joy you've given us through Jesus. For in his presence is the fullness of joy. Lord, I pray right now that you would clearly speak what you put on my heart. to these people that you love more than we can ever love, to do more work that anyone can do by himself. So we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've been fasting and praying the last quarter of 2017, and I'm just waiting on the Lord. And this is what it was a nudge. I mean, I don't want to tell you God spoke to me, but I know through the word and through this. God said, you know what? What about California? Naz, you've been living here 33 years, and California is worse morally today than ever. And why is my children scared? Why are you afraid to share me with people? Really, why are you embarrassed? Why are you fearful? You know, people like James Dobson going, if you're a Christian, you should move from California, it's getting darker. No, not on our watch. Now, I'm a Californian. I'm just 33 years. I'm in California. If you're California, this is our state, and the darker it gets, the better chance for us to turn it. God loves California, and he desires to change California. And he will do that through people. He can use angels, but he's using us. And how do you change California? By changing individuals in California one at a time. How do you do that? By sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them. I truly believe if you share Jesus with someone and they accept and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, their entire moral life will change. Their entire attitude, everything will change because of that. One person at a time. Because if you can change California, you can change the nation. You know, some people don't understand how much power we have as Californians. We have the movie industry is here. The porn industry is here. The environmental codes, most of them come out of here. A lot of stuff. We decided in California once we're going to make people stop smoking in restaurants and in parks and stuff. And people go, are you crazy? People will never stop smoking in bars and restaurants. I was in Jordan and Israel last month. I was in Jordan and a restaurant. They go, you can't smoke in here. I don't smoke. But I'm like, thank you, California. We can influence the world. And I truly believe if we can share this with people, if we can share Jesus with people and California start changing, the whole world will change. I was doing a homeless shelter, me and my comedian Gilbert, and I was just sharing. I'm like, hey, I think I'm going crazy, man. I'm going to go around the country for 5 years and tell people God can change California. God will change California. Am I crazy? He goes, who gave you that? Satan? You think Satan will give you this idea? It's from God. He goes, yeah, that's God's desire. I go, but really, this is too huge. He goes, listen, Nazareth, the deadliest prison in the world is the California prison. He said, my friend who used to run with me when we were little, he shot someone for $5 and he's doing life in prison and he's the head of the Mexican mafia. And he's turned his life to Christ. And he said he is committed to share Jesus with everyone he can influence in his control. That's a start. That's a start. God is able to change California. He wants to use us. You know, the other day I was watching when Billy Graham died, Lisa Gifford was on the Kelly Show, NBC. And she asked her, said, why are you so excited? Why do you want to share? Why are you always going around telling people about Jesus? She said, if you have the cure for cancer, wouldn't you want to tell people who have cancer about it? She said, I have the cure for the malignancy of the soul. You have the cure as a Christian here. You have the cure for the malignancy of the soul. And there's so many people around you suffering and dying internally from that. And what are you going to do? Embarrassed to share? If you have a cure for cancer, you go, I'm afraid to give it to them because they might reject me. They might not. No. You do it because you care. But if you don't care, you don't care. If you're lukewarm, you're lukewarm. If you just want to be a Christian and say, it's me, I'm in, I'm going to heaven, boom, forget about people, that's up to you. But if you're really like, next time you go, oh, California is getting darker, do something about it. Do something. Share Jesus with someone. But Naz, I'm not equipped. I'm not, you know, let me tell you this story quickly. I was on the plane once, getting late into the flight because airport security. It was Southwest Airlines, and there were only 3 seats left, 2 middles and 1 window. So anyway, I ran and sat on the window seat. I don't want to be in the middle seat. So I sat on the window seat, and followed me is a couple. The girl has this white thing, like she just got married. She goes, oh, honey, we can't sit together. And I don't know why I said that. I said, hey, what God united, let no man separate. You two come take this middle and window. I'll sit in the middle seat in the back. And people start applauding me, like, what a nice guy. So I'm angry. I'm sitting there in the middle seat. Like, why did I do that? So the plane takes off. At 10,000 feet, I opened my laptop and had a picture of my wife and kids and myself. And the guy next to me, who I didn't plan to sit next to, he looks at me and he goes, oh, you're lucky. I said, no, he said, like, is that your family? I go, I'm normally the one that's hard to understand. I said, excuse me? He goes, is that your family? I go, yes. He goes, oh, you're lucky. I said, no, I'm blessed. I used to do drugs and alcohol, and my life was a mess. Just wanted to have fun and enjoy everything that they say is fun. And, you know, Jesus met me, changed my life, and now I'm a good dad and I'm a good husband because of that. And I'm so blessed. And he goes, I think kind of my elderly dad, and he asked me, he wants to know Jesus before he dies, and I don't know what to do. And I'm looking around, there's a camera or something. He can't be that ready, but he was. He was. And I shared the full gospel of Jesus with him out loud. Nobody complained because I was the hero on the plane. And before we landed, he prayed the sinner's prayer, and he was way up there. He's going, I can't wait to share with my dad about Jesus. I can't. He was ready. He's not wearing a t-shirt that says, tell me about Jesus. Guess what? When you go to lunch today, maybe the waiter or the waitress don't have a t-shirt that says, tell me about Jesus. Maybe your friend at work who always rejected it, maybe today God changed his life and he wants to hear about it. They're not wearing a t-shirt. How you find out? By sharing with them. But I'm not prepared. I don't know what to say. There's three things you could say. Number one, tell them about your life before you knew Jesus. Hey, I was a comedian in Hollywood. I used to go parties. We drink, we have drugs, we sleep around and have a great time. And I was empty and all that. Boom, someone invites me to church. Step two, what happened? Where did Jesus meet you? You know, I went to church. I found out this is exactly what I want in life. I turned my life around. Number three, what's your life like now? Now, my life is different. Now I'm care about other people. I'm serving others. I'm doing all this. You know, that's it. Nobody can argue with you when you share all these three things. What were your life before? What happened when you, when encountered Jesus? And how's your life right now? Really amazing. Number three. Well, Nat, we don't know what to say. Three things that will empower you whenever you meet someone. Number one, the Holy Spirit is as powerful today as in the day of Pentecost. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit that empowered Peter to go out and share with people who didn't speak his language, and 3,000 came to know Jesus that day. That same power is available to you here in Anaheim Hills or wherever, to each individual person as your helper to really go and share Jesus with him. Number two, God still desires that all would come to know him. God is not mad at you. He's not mad at your friends. He knows how bad they are. You know all things about what your life is like. And he still desires to come and know him. He wants him to know. He wants California to come to know Jesus. Are we having a problem with the sound? Are we okay? You're good? Okay. And number three, because let me read it to you, the verse. I didn't bring it from me. It's in the Bible. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants to see if you don't know him, he wants you to know him. His Holy Spirit is powerful to the point that convicted you to come to church today if you don't know him. He's not done with you. If you're not a Christian and you feel convicted to come to church or to hear about Jesus, praise God for that, because God is not done with you. And number three, the Word of God is still powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul, spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's God's Word. That's a powerful one. I want to challenge you. Take the Word of God and stab people with it. That's what it's for. It's a sword. You stab people with it. They're going to bleed by either say quietly and saying, good for you. I'm glad that worked for you. Or they get mad. Don't give us this, Christian. We're Californians. We don't want to hear about you. You know, why do you think you're the only way to... Whatever they do, you know what? You gave them the word of God. You stabbed them with it. And they will deal with it. And that word will not come back void. If you know these three things, if you are aware of all these three things, you really have a better time being able to share Jesus with people. One of the hardest people I personally had is Muslims. I lived with Muslims. I know how zealous they are. And 10 years ago, we found out that there's so many Muslims and refugees and Arab refugees coming to Anaheim, California, which is the second highest population of Muslims in the United States. Dearborn, Anaheim. If you go to Iraq right now, I was in Jordan. You know what that? They know where Anaheim is. They know where Dearborn, Michigan, they know where Anaheim is. Because that's the second population. They said, why are we going to just be quiet and not do anything about it? So me and a couple friends from my church 10 years ago, we said, let's do something. What are we going to do? We're not going to preach to them. We're going to love them. What do they need? They need furniture. So we started collecting furniture, putting it in our garages, and then hand it to them. Soon we were able to get a little, you store it and put the furniture in there. What do they need? They need to learn English. We started a class, English as a second language. Grew up to be four levels of English. The only place in the country right now that teaches four levels of ESL is here in Anaheim at Voice of Refugees. Free furniture. What else they need? They need jobs. We gave them job training and resume writing and mock interviews. They need computers. We taught them how to do computers. 1,500 Muslim families came through our in the last 10 years. And they are on the corner of Gilbert. Between La Palma and Crescent. That's where we're in the building inside the Crescent Baptist Church. You are welcome as a church to come volunteer, serve, love on them. Every Monday morning at lunch, we have a truckload of food and we pass it around to them and just bless them. And we have a devotion every morning. And guess what? I told my staff, don't share the gospel with them until. I go, until what? You know when. And they come and say, why do you guys love us? Boom. What better time to share the gospel with them. And you are welcome to be part of this. And so also, what we can do is, you know what? We can't do this alone. And this is just a conviction from the Lord. Listen, if you're a believer and you say, Nazareth, I want to do something. Not on my watch. I'm not going to let California go under it. I have kids. I have grandkids. I have nephews and nieces that they're going to live in California. And I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when they live here. But I'm going to do something because I believe God is able to do that. That, you know, God is powerful and he's able to do something. We don't lose hope. We are not fearful because God did not give us a spirit of fear. So you say, Nazareth, I want to do something about it. What can I do? The first thing you can do is to have a personal revival. To look at yourself and go, God, is there anything in my life that doesn't honor you? Is there anything I'm doing? Maybe I'm living with a boyfriend or a girlfriend that we're not married. Maybe I'm watching this stuff. Maybe I'm drinking this stuff. Maybe I'm using this stuff. Maybe I'm cheating on this stuff. Maybe I'm lusting on this. And you say, Lord, would you help me? Would you cleanse that? I'm a believer. I'm your child. You're able to do that. Would you cleanse me? And then once you do that, then you're ready to go out and say, listen, you know what? I'm ready to share the gospel with people. The verse that I want to give you, it's Romans 13, 11 through 14 says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is a high time to awake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. You say that and then you go, I don't want to challenge you right now. If you're a believer and you're willing to do that and you're willing to ask that and the Lord of that and you say, Nazareth, I can commit to sharing Jesus with seven people in the next 12 months, would you stand up? Don't do it emotionally. If you mean it, I am committed to share Jesus with seven people in the next 12 months. I'm not saying one a month. Seven in 12 months. You're committed to share Jesus with them. Not the Jesus that's just going to make you rich and wealthy and healthy, and blah, 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 but the Jesus that died for you, that expects you to really repent and change your life, and you share your testimony, or maybe just water, just sharing Jesus with them. Man, if that's you, I want you to do two things. Number one, I would like you to take your phone right now. And yes, you're allowed to use your phone today. And text the word NAZ, N-E-Z. We couldn't find an easier word, and the number 7 is taken. NAZ to 71441. So you put in the text to 71441, and you put the word NAZ. And we'll ask you to put your name and email. That's all we're asking. And we're not going to bombard you with that stuff. Just want to encourage you once in a while and say, hey, how are you doing with your 7? Well, you know, we don't want to know who they are. Maybe you don't know who they are yet. So that's number one. If you don't have a phone with you or you can't text, outside next to my product table, there's a table where there's a card. You put your name, email, and city, and you just put it in the card. It will just keep track. Then I have these cards called truelife.org. There's a stack of in each. You can take it with you, and it's blank on the back, so can you put your church name or your name and phone number. This is a website that have answers to every question a non-Christian can ask you. Hey, you Christians, how do you feel about abortion? Boom, there's a video there, 3 minutes. How do you feel about homosexuals? Boom, there's 3 questions. How do you feel about death? Boom, we have it. How do you feel about, you know, life after death? Boom, there's a... So you don't have to have all the answers. And you can watch them yourself at home, so now you're prepared. But these are good answers. And they go home, and they look at it, and they go, oh, okay, well, I thought they believed that. Oh, no, maybe they're good. I'll try it. So they look in the back, and we'll have your name or your church name, and they can attend your service. There's stacks of them. Just take them and share them with people. And if you didn't put text, here's the card. You can leave your name and stuff. And that would be awesome if you can do that. And we will be praying. We have teams of people. If you can't share with 7 people, you want to be on the prayer team, please let us know. And we will have people praying for you to do that. Amen? Have a seat. Thank you. By the way, next to it, there's a product table where I have crosses and stuff I brought from Israel with me last month from Bethlehem and Jerusalem. They're for sale. They support our ministry. And also my new book called Hope in 24 Hours is coming in next month. It'll be out. It's stories how God can change your situation for the better in 24 hours or less. How I met my wife. How I stayed in my home. Relationships that were restored all 24 hours. We don't even have to just get up every morning at 3 or 4 and go, oh, I'm afraid this, I'm afraid that. Well, there's another side. Hey, I feel maybe God can do that if that's his will. So that's the book, 1995, come at 99, not 95. I can't afford to sell it for 1995. It's 1999. No. And if you buy it, God's going to bless me. Enough of that. You know, I share 3 things with you that will empower. Number one, the Holy Spirit as powerful today as in the day of Pentecost. There's some of you sitting here feeling convicted. You said, ah, I don't know why I'm not happy. Now I don't have joy. Why is my life have no joy? Maybe if you connect it with the Creator who created you, and he starts telling you how you should live, maybe that will correct things. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. Ah, I don't know. If I die, I don't know where I'm going to go. A few years ago, I've done a lot of death row prisons. Anybody been to prison? No. Leave your hand up. So one time I was in Phoenix prison, and I did a great job with the inmates, and they loved it. The warden, the president of the prison, he goes, hey, you want to see the death chamber? I go, only if you let me treat me like someone who's getting executed. He goes, we can do that. So he called 6 guards, and they walked me from the prison cell where they leave you for 24 hours. Took me to the death chamber, first the gas chamber, which is a half oval building, looks like a bank safe. They opened the door, I went in, there's only one chair in the middle, I sat there, and I buckled up, because it's a law, and then they closed the door. They didn't turn the gas on, but for 2 minutes I was sitting there going, what if I die? Where am I going to go? I didn't think about mortgage, about cars, about what people think of me, what gossip, anything. I didn't think of anything. All I thought, what's going to happen to me? Well, I settled that before because I know I'm no good on my own. I can't please God. I don't care how good am I. I cannot please God on my own. That's why God himself became a man and lived a perfect life on this earth for 33 years. And in the right time, in the due time, he willingly, obediently, He obediently went to the cross in Jerusalem. And on that cross, he took the punishment that you and I deserve for breaking the commandments of a holy God. He took it upon himself. And he gave up his life. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he conquered death. And he did that, that we can have victory. And we can have life eternal. He did that for us. And the Bible tells us, it's by grace through faith you've been saved. And it is a gift from God, not of your works, lest anyone brags or boast. It's a gift from God. And that gift is available to you. And if you're not sure what's going to happen to you if you die, if you have doubt, God is not a God of doubt. I never drop my 10-year-old to school and say, maybe me or mom will pick you up. If I'm an earthly father who can give that assurance to my daughter, don't you think a loving heavenly father wouldn't give you? He gave us assurance. He said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a guarantee from God the Father who created everything. It's a guarantee, and that's available to you. So if you're doubting, it's on you. So bow your head and close your eyes right now, please. And they took me from there. And they put me in the lethal injection bed. And I was in that lethal injection bed. They laid me there trying to explain all the 4 medication that goes into my body. And I look to the left and there's a red phone. And I say, what is that red phone for? They said the president or the governor can call and pardon you. I go, wow. I said, what is this microphone that's hanging in front of top of my mouth? He said, you have to accept it. I go, what do you mean? He said, you have to accept the pardon, otherwise we'll execute you regardless of what the governor say or the president. I go, really? Even if they pardon you? Yep, you have to accept it or we'll execute you. Jesus made the call. He pardoned you. Now it's your job to receive it, to accept it. But if you don't accept it, it's still in your head, then you're still doubting, you're still questioning all these, oh, what about other religions? What about all these people? You know what? It's between you and the Lord, and you have to accept it personally. You accept that pardon personally. And until then, you're not going to make it to heaven. There's separation from God called hell, and it's real, and it's not made for you. If you don't want the pardon, and you want to just live your life with no accountability, then boom, go for it. So if you're here this morning, I need to get right with God. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to accept that pardon. If that's you, slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Let me see it. It's between you and the Lord. If you're not sure what's going to happen to you, if you die today, tomorrow, or in 50, 100 years, are you going to make it to heaven? If you're not sure, today is your chance. Just slip it up. I'm going to pray for you. Say, I need that, Nance. I never asked Christ. I never accepted his pardon. Anybody? Pray this prayer. It's between you and the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive me. I failed you. But today I come to you and I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you rose again from the dead that I can have life. Lord, I want to turn away from the way I'm living and follow you all the days of my life. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. And we have tables here. Someone can pray with you and all that. And the warden looked down at me and said, Nazareth, this is as close to death as you'll ever get. I go, no, I fly Southwest Airlines all the time. I'm Nazareth. Thank you so much.
That was great. Love the laugh. You know, if you would like to maybe get connected with the ministry that Nazareth is doing at the table, at his table out there, you can talk to him and get information that will help you to make that connection. Also, if you'd like to give to his ministry on our giving app and all of our platforms for giving, you can just put Nazareth when you give, and it will go to that ministry, and you can support that. Let's stand together. Now there's mentioned, if you said yes to Jesus this morning, or even if you're considering, maybe you have some questions, I'll be over there at that table when we dismiss, And we have some information to give you, and I'll be happy to be there to pray with you or to talk with you. And next week, we're Palm Sunday. It's going to be a great preview before Saturday. We have the Easter egg hunt, and that is an outreach. I hope you'll come and help. We need volunteers. We need support. Good Friday, we're going to celebrate the crucifixion. And then on Easter, I hope you come, and I hope you bring somebody with you, because we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're going to do it big time. Father, I pray your blessing upon each one, Lord, as we go. Let our hearts always be filled with the recognition of your grace that has rescued us. Let us walk in love. Let us walk in a sense of worship. And may we glorify you in all of our actions and words. In Jesus' name, amen.